This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to go back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to get another picture of the great God that we serve. Over the past few weeks, I've been looking at chapters that remind us of the greatness of God in Jesus Christ. And I want to continue doing that because it's a great reminder that we need to be obeying God and serving God. And why come and worship Him on a Sunday morning like this? And if you're not doing that, why should I be encouraged to do that? One way that we can be encouraged is to be reminded from God's Word to let the Bible speak about the greatness of God and Jesus Christ, so that we would want to obey them and come and worship them. And this morning, we're going to go back and take a look into heaven like we did a couple of weeks ago in Revelation chapter 4. We're going to get another glimpse into heaven by turning to Isaiah chapter 6, 1 and following. I'm glad that you've joined us on the program. I appreciate your support and interest in spiritual things. And even more than that, I would be interested in a Bible study with you, or you coming to visit with us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. That would be even better than listening. I appreciate you listening. But if you were to do more than that and come and be a part of the service, that would even benefit you greater in a greater way. So I invite you to do that. But in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, the text says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Almost like the flowing garment or skirts coming out from him. And Isaiah writes that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. This is going to be around 740 or 739 BC. And while Old Testament dates in history may not be of interest to us, this is a particular thing to take note of because it ties into today's lesson. In the year that King Uzziah died, Israel at that time was very successful and very prosperous materially and physically. They were, Uzziah had warred with others and defeated them. They were a wealthy nation. They were doing well politically and militarily and monetarily. But there was a lot of sin among the people. And in the year that he died, Uzziah, shortly before his death, was stricken with leprosy by God because he himself had done something that was unlawful and unscriptural. And he had gone into the temple to burn incense, and it was not authorized for him, the king, to do that. That was for the priests. And he was not authorized to do that, and he did that out of pride. His heart was lifted up. And so even he himself had sin in his life. But the people, many of the people, among the rulership and leadership and others, there's sin in their lives. And so in this 740 or 739 BC, Isaiah is reminded that though there is sin among the people, there is a holy God that needs to be served. God is in charge. God rules over all. And he's a holy God, and he will not have fellowship with sin. And so the date is important for this particular vision and commission that Isaiah is given. So, who does Isaiah see? The Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. God is on his throne. And above him stood the seraphim. This is the only place I know of in Scripture where this term is used to describe angelic beings of a very high order. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, The whole earth is full of his glory. We read the same thing when a door was opened in heaven and John was able to go up and see God sitting on his throne, the angelic or the heavenly beings there are saying, "Holy, holy, holy." The three times that holy is mentioned may have to do with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or the number three representing deity. But either way, holy, holy, holy is reminding us of the God that we serve. And in a very sinful nation, even with a sinful king that they had that died as a leper, they're reminded of the need to serve a holy God and be holy themselves. So God, number one, is on a throne. He's ruling over all. Number two, he's holy and he wants us to be holy. And the way we begin that is by obeying Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins and being baptized into Christ. And as a child of God, if sin comes back into our lives, we repent of that and we confess that and we pray for forgiveness. But we're going to live holy lives as God himself is holy. And Peter encourages that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, to be holy as God is holy. And so in today's world where everybody says, well, just live any way you want, it doesn't matter. God accepts all lifestyles, it doesn't matter. No, God is holy. And he wants us to be before him without sin, as we're going to see in just a minute. The whole earth is full of his glory. God's glory is shown in his creation. God's glory is shown in his physical creation, in his word, in his plan of salvation, in sending Jesus Christ, in intervening through his providence. There are so many ways in which the glory of God has gone throughout, literally throughout all the earth, throughout all the physical creation, throughout all people, throughout all time. It is full of his glory. That is radiance, majesty, that which is honorable, that which is deserving of praise, that which is deserving of obedience. That is the God that we serve. And we get to come and worship him on Sunday morning. We encourage you to do the same. And we can worship him at other times as well. And then, Isaiah says, the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I just mentioned the state of Israel at this time. For mine eyes have seen the King Jehovah of hosts. The first connection I want us to make this morning, friends, is that when we witness the holiness of God, that naturally leads to the sinfulness of man. When we compare ourselves to God, we're going to see sin in our lives. And if there is sin in our lives, it needs to be forgiven. When you compare yourself with yourself, or when you compare yourself with other people in the world, you'll say, well, I'm okay. But when you look at a God who is holy, 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 then the standard is far different. And so there, it leads to us looking at ourselves, looking at God. And that's why I wanted to talk about this morning, because so many people won't look at God anymore. But looking at God, we have a better view of ourselves. We're not God. We're not the master of the universe. We're not our own boss or ruler or king or God or Lord. We need to look at God to get an accurate picture of ourselves. So when Isaiah did that, he saw himself as unclean and those around him. Well, what is done for himself, the uncleanness in himself and the uncleanness around him? What is done about that? Well, let's keep reading. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin forgiven. If we're to be in the presence of a holy God, we need to come with sin forgiven. And we can do that. We might be traveling on the way to the church service. Well, if there's a sin in our life, we don't need to come to a holy God with a sin in our life. Well, what do I need to do? Well, if I've not obeyed the gospel, I need to be baptized into Christ. I need to get my sin out of the way first. And if I'm a Christian but sin has come back in, I need to repent and confess and pray and stop that before I can truly be in fellowship in the presence of a holy God. That's something to think about on the way to the church service. I want to be in the presence of a holy God. I need to be that way. I need to be there clean, not unclean. And so Isaiah is taken care of. This is symbolic. This is a special vision, a special moment in the life of Isaiah. This is not giving the entire plan of salvation for the Jew under the old covenant to be forgiven of iniquity. It involved a sacrificial system. But the point is not simply this is what the Jew did to be forgiven, have coals touch his lips. The point is to be forgiven so that you can be in the presence of a holy God. So Isaiah is now clean. The second connection that I want to make, the first one is the holiness of God leading to the sinfulness of man. The second connection I'd like for you to see is that with forgiveness comes responsibility. Keep reading. Verse 8, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? We have a commission now. The us here might certainly be the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or the members of the Godhead and the angelic beings in heaven. But who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Notice that forgiveness and a right relationship with God leads to responsibility. I've got a commission for you. We're not saved, friends, just simply to drift around and do nothing. We're not saved. We're not forgiven of sins just to simply sit around and do nothing, but to get up and go work for the Lord. Forgiveness leads to responsibility. And Isaiah had a great attitude about this matter. He said, Here am I, send me. He didn't make excuses. He didn't offer up blame for why he couldn't do it. He didn't try to shift responsibility to another prophet. Isaiah is contemporary with Micah. He didn't say, Well, why don't you get Micah to go do it or some other prophet? He said, Here am I, send me. And Isaiah already knew back in verse 5 that he was living in the midst of a people that were unclean. Surely he knew that this would be difficult. And yet, he said, Here am I, send me. Friends, we need to take more personal responsibility to fulfill the plans that God has for our lives. God commissions us to go, not just simply to go and talk with those who are lost, but go and do a lot of things in the New Testament church. And so many people are saying, There he is, send him, instead of here am I, send me. Are we an excuse maker? Are we always shifting blame? Are we always saying why we can't do this and we can't do that? We have been forgiven, friends. Here's an opportunity to step up and simply do what God wants us to do. And he's never going to ask us to do something that we can't do. And what a great attitude Isaiah has here. And so Isaiah is told, the Lord says to him, go and tell this people. So now we're going to figure out how that the unclean people can be forgiven. We've seen how the unclean Isaiah is forgiven. How is the unclean people, how are they forgiven? Well, it's going to be through Isaiah's preaching. But we're going to learn something about that preaching, and that is that the people don't want it. For the most part, there's always a remnant, there's, as we'll see at the end of the lesson. But for the most part, the people don't want it. So, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat or thick, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed. They're unclean, verse 5. They need to be healed, verse 10. And the way it is done is through Isaiah telling them a message. And the message for us, friends, today is in the New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we do today. I try to do it on the program. I try to do it privately, publicly, anywhere I can. I try to tell people to hear and understand so that they can be healed of their sin. But often people don't want it. Friend, is that you? I don't want it. I don't want to listen. I don't want to understand. I don't want to perceive. Why? My heart is fat and thick. My ears are heavy. My eyes, spiritually speaking, in my ears, I don't want to see Bible truths. I don't want to hear Bible truths. God gives you a choice. God gives you a choice, friends, to see and hear His Word. So, for just a little bit, I want to jump over to the New Testament. We'll come back to Isaiah in just a minute. But I just want to jump over to Isaiah briefly and see the three different occasions in the New Testament in which this passage is quoted, and we get some more insight from it. The first occasion is in which Jesus is teaching the parable of the sower. And after Jesus teaches his disciples, he speaks to them the parable of the sower, and before he explains it, he quotes this Isaiah chapter 6, 9 and 10. And so look at what Jesus says to his disciples. Unto you it is given, Matthew 13, verse 11. Matthew 13, 11. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And he's beginning to talk about people who don't want to hear the word of God. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because, and then here's getting into the reference of Isaiah, seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. But unto them it is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed, or grown gross, or thick, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. Notice that Jesus says it is their responsibility to hear and see, and they make the choice. This is very important because we're going to see a little bit different take on it when we get over to John chapter 12. But understand that you have free will. God is going to give you an opportunity to be hardened, and He's going to do that through the preaching of the gospel, but you choose whether or not you will hear and understand, see and perceive, you see. Notice again, Jesus said, this people's heart is grown thick, their eyes are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Their eyes they have closed. God does not decide ahead of time who will hear and who will not, who will see and who will not. He doesn't do that. That is a false teaching of Calvinism. It's a false teaching and a false understanding of predestination and foreordination. God gives you a message. You choose whether or not you will hear it and obey it or not. So, the first occasion is the parable of the sower. Turn with me now to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, in verse 35, Jesus had been talking about walk in the light. He was the spiritual light. He's the spiritual guidance. And walk in the light while you have the light. And then in John chapter 12, verse 36, these things spake Jesus, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many signs or miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They believed not. They made that choice. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake. The first little quote here is not from Isaiah 6. It's from Isaiah 53, verse 1. Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And then John switches over to Isaiah 6. For this cause, they could not believe, for that Isaiah had said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should perceive with their eyes and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them. Now, when you read this verse, it looks like the Lord is the one that did it, and they didn't have a choice. That's why I said earlier, it's very important to understand what was said in Matthew 13. What is said here does not contradict it. The Lord is hardening their heart by giving them that opportunity to believe or not. He's presenting that gospel to them. And that is the occasion upon which they choose to harden their heart. So there's no contradiction there. He hath blinded their eyes. He hath hardened their heart. How? By giving them an opportunity. They make the choice. And so, the second place in which it is used. And then the third place in which it is used is in Acts chapter 28, if you want to turn with me there. Paul makes it to Rome. He had appealed to Caesar. He makes it to Rome. He's in prison there for 2 years. He writes 4 prison epistles. In addition to that, one thing that he does is he preaches the gospel. He preaches the kingdom of God and teaches the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some Jews gathered together in really all 3 contexts, Matthew 13, John 12, and Acts 28. It's the Jewish people. That's why in this passage, Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. It was fulfilled in his day, 740 years before the time of Christ, and it's still being fulfilled in Jesus' day when he's preaching to Jews who don't want it, just like Isaiah was preaching to Jews who didn't want it. Same thing in Acts 28. Some Jews have gathered around Paul in Rome, and he's preaching to them. The text says in verse 24, Acts 28, 24, some believed the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. There's your choice. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit through Isaiah. Notice that Isaiah is speaking and writing Isaiah chapter 6 through the Holy Spirit, the inspired word of God, saying, go thou unto this people and say, by hearing you shall hear and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is grown thick, their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, you people who have closed your eyes and ears, you don't want the truth, that this salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, they will also hear. I'm going to turn to people who do want the message. And so that's what he does. He had been doing that in his preaching trips. He will continue to do that even in prison and in writing these prison epistles, and he will do that when he gets out of prison. He's going to go be with people who want to hear the word of God, even if it's not Jews and it has to be Gentiles. He's looking for all people, Jews and Gentiles, to hear the word of God. So, back now to Isaiah chapter 6. With a holy picture of God, that leads to our own nature. Being clean and forgiven, that leads to responsibility. The responsibility of taking the word of God to others leads to a choice. Am I going to hear it or not? And then let's look at what is said back now in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11. Then I said, Lord, how long? That is, how long should I be preaching to people who don't want the word of God? The Lord answered, until cities be waste without inhabit, and houses without man, and land become utterly waste. And Jehovah has removed men far away, and the forsaken places be many in the midst of the land. In other words, until God's divine judgment comes upon his people. About 20 years after this, the northern kingdom of Israel will be taken away. They will be utterly waste and removed in the Assyrian captivity of 722 BC. Later, the southern kingdom of Judah will be laid waste and carried away in the Babylonian captivity that culminated in the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. In other words, keep preaching until judgment comes and people are taken away. Give everybody an opportunity up until judgment takes them away. And that's true for us today. That's why we keep having the Let the Bible Speak program. That's why, Lord willing, as long as I have breath in my life, I hope to tell others of the saving message of the gospel. There's a coming judgment day in which there's going to be utterly waste and people are going to be removed and we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. The earth and the works are going to be burned up and there won't be any time to believe and obey the gospel then. You've got to do it now, friends. Or as an erring child of God, you've got to come back now. But then this little chapter ends on hope. And if there be yet a tenth in it, it also shall in turn be eaten up, as a terebinth and as an oak, whose stock remains when they are felled, so the holy seed is the stock thereof. Things will get bad, people will be taken away, but there will always be a holy seed that is a stock and that is a remnant. Isaiah was among those people, and there were holy individuals even in Isaiah's day. And there's always been a holy seed. And Paul will even say that all the way down in Romans chapter 11. There will always be a remnant who serve God. Friends, you need to be among that. But it takes you understanding a holy God, your own sinfulness, and the need to hear and see and obey the word of God. If we can help you to do that before judgment comes, if we can help you to be that holy seed before judgment comes, let us help you to do that. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.